Rock. Thank you. Reverend Catherine is, it was so fun to hear you singing, Felicia. It's like, oh, look, she's having a moment. Thank you, Reverend Glenn. That was really awesome. Good morning. Welcome to the West Valley Center for Spiritual Living. I'm Reverend Karen Rice, and I'm the leader of this glorious, wonderful community who I understand, I wasn't here, but we had a very successful Thanksgiving Day. I saw pictures posted. So, Kathy Rose, thank you so much. Phil, I know you guys worked really hard, and all your helpers. Sue Ann was, and I think Jan and Fred had their little elbow grease in it somewhere, I think, at least in the planning. I saw you sitting at that table last week. So I hope this is the beginning of a new tradition. It makes my heart so happy, and the pictures were fabulous. Mark, did you do the pictures on Facebook? Really good job, everybody. It is a wonderful opportunity to have a tribe of choice. Is it not that we choose who we want to hang out with on holidays? And that's sort of what I want to talk to you about today, because I have a tradition in my I figured out this morning, I've been giving weekly talks for a dozen years now. And so that means this is my, on the 12th year of Christmas for me. and I have, my personal tradition is that on the first Sunday, I like to give a message that will remind you that you get to choose how you walk through this season. So what we know is there are people who just are filled with the Christmas spirit and the joy and love every minute of it. And we also have the opposite of that, those who sort of drag their feet through the season or don't like it. And I think that it's okay. You know, I want us to really create a place to honor whatever your enthusiasm or lack of enthusiasm or your desire for the ordinary days of January to get here, whatever it is, there is something undeniable about the last month of the year that has to do with the way we are reflecting on everything that has occurred in our own lives and in this world, and looking for the lessons therein, and taking that as a part of our substance now and stepping into a brand new year. In New Thought, in this teaching and other teachings, in this idea less traditional spiritual look at Christianity, we look at Christmas time as a time of the rebirth of the Christ consciousness. It is an invitation for all of us to step gently, I like to say gently, remind us, do this gently, into this new space of honoring holy newness in your very own life and in your own adventures as to how you move through the season and how you respond to life in lots of ways. So I had this idea, and the title of my talk is My Favorite Things, because I wanted this to be an opportunity for you to reflect on your favorite things. I'm going to tell you what mine are, but I want you to be reflecting on your own, but not just your favorite things in general. I am interested in all of us having this opportunity to look at our favorite things about the teachings of the science of mind. So, and my theory is that as we anchor ourselves in just, if you could only pick three things that you love about this teaching and about what happens here in classes and in Sunday messages and in conversation circles, if you only chose those three favorite things of yours and you focused on those three things as you move through this month, I think you would find that you would have a very deliberate and intentional emotional and very spiritual experience of this holiday time, this season of festivities. And to be intentional means you get to own it to the degree or level that you decide. So we're going to look at three favorite things, because when you stand in, when you know what those are, and you stand in that space of living your life as those three favorite things, expressing those things in your living, then you're living effectively. You're living a highly practical life of choice and pure potential for an experience that can delight your soul. And it also will make you more pleasing to other people as you walk through this month. And I think that's what we need in December, is more people that are willing to be pleasing to more than just their own selves. So my three words, are you ready for my three words? My three words are flow and choice and praise. Flow and choice and praise. So flow would be the law of circulation, and choice is like we are really anchored in this whole idea of as you choose, so you experience your life. And then we move into praise and gratitude and thanksgiving, and we get a beautiful big package. And so flow is like you don't need much. If you've been coming for through the month of December, if you've been any part of this community in the month of, I'm sorry, November, if you have been a part of this community in the month of November, you are well versed in the subject of flow, because we have all been studying together, and I spoke all month from the book, the Eric Butterworth book, In the Flow of Life. And I kept saying, I noticed I didn't mean to, but every week I started my talk out by saying something like, if this was the only thing you studied, if the principles in this idea of the law of circulation and the giving and the receiving, the reciprocity of the universe that we live in, if that was the only thing we studied, woo, it would be enough, you know, we would have everything we need. So you don't need a lot of lesson in flow, but I do think that it reminds me it is about staying in that movement, keep putting one foot in front of the other, or as the founder of this teaching, Dr. Ernest Holmes, said so sweetly long before it was a flap on a big semi-truck, keep on keeping on. And we learned very profoundly last month that the best way to stay in this grand and glorious flow of life is to go to the well every day. Take yourself to the spiritual well every day. Take your cup and hold it upright. Make sure you don't have it upside down so that you can catch all the good that's there for you. And what that means is that we make ourselves a container to fill up with the grace of God, that givingness of God that's good. We fill up with that every day. And then when we allow ourselves to flow through the day, we are moving on a divine energetic, and it carries us in a real different way than if we don't fill up at the well before we leave the house. Choice, then, is the natural next topic, because it is about choosing attitude. I think that's the most important thing we can look at in this first Sunday in December. How do you want to choose your attitude? And remember that you are in choice in a lot of ways. We need to remember we're in choice this month. And then praise is that big, potent, that way that is deep and authentic experience of being grateful. Praise and thanksgiving. And so I found a quote that inspired me in the writing of the rest of the message for this morning from Dr. Ernest Holmes from The Science of Mind. And here are some very, I want to say, special words of his, because it's kind of an ordinary quote, except it ends with this thought that was sort of a new idea for me, and I want to get you excited about it too. So here are the words of Holmes. An attitude of praise and thanksgiving lightens the consciousness, right? It lightens it. It lifts the consciousness out of sadness and depression. The practice of praise lifts the consciousness to a point of acceptance. To a point of acceptance. And so the practice of praise, the practice of gratitude, has this crazy kind of lifting power. It defies gravity in one way that I look at it. It's sort of like a magnetic pull from the heavens is what I'm thinking. It has this lifting power, and I think that's wonderful. That is the way I want to start the message today, for us to stand in that place of gratitude and think about it. When Ernest Holmes wrote back in the early 1900s, the mid-1900s, they did not have the research that we have today that validates the benefits, the effectiveness of living a grateful life. So those are the things that we're going to look at. I think that the reason this is important to me is because I have some of my own experiences of feeling tangled up in some of the seeming obligations that come with the Christmas season. And so I just want to say that, you know, it's just a natural turn of the calendar. It's a change of the seasons. If you live in the Midwest, actually, you don't even have to live in the Midwest. It's snowing like crazy in places like California. The snow is really low right now. But people are shoveling snow because it's that time of season. And so you might look at this season as just something else that just happens with the calendar. And now we get to determine how it is that we want to move forward and walk through this season. We want to live and move and have our being in God. And so we want to be intentional about bringing some of those Christ qualities into that movement. So I got a formula for you. I got this great formula. It's a special formula. It's a sacred, secret, special formula that I just made up a couple days ago. Flow, choice, and praise. And when you do them in that order, flow, choice, and you get to praise, and it has that lifting of the praise, the gratitude lifts us. I see that as a way it lifts us up into the next season. So it reminds us that there's this circular motion, this movement of life, and we're just a part of that. So, what are your favorite things? Think about your favorite things. Now I'm going to ask you to go that next step. What would you say are your, just thinking now, not saying out loud, but what would you say your favorite things about this season are? There's a commercial on TV right now that shows some snow skiers. It's a car commercial. I think it's for Toyota or something. And these skiers get off the mountain, and then they get ready to get in the car, and they start taking off all their winter clothes. And you see it's three young women. And they get in the Toyota, and they're driving now. They're driving, and they got music on, and one of them's kind of rocking out to the music. And the next thing you know, they're at the beach, and they're putting on their wetsuit. And they go out in the ocean, and they surf, you know. That's one of the joys of living in California. My kids both snowed and surfed, and so my son actually has a day where they did that. They snowed and they went right down the mountain, and then they went surfing. They snow skied and then they went surfing. And so I like that image it gives us of taking your favorite things of the season. So it might not have anything to do with the holiday, and yet none of us are immune to the activities that come along with the holiday. And it's also interesting that it seems to be a Christian holiday, and yet almost every spiritual tradition, which we will be talking about in future talks this month, but almost every spiritual tradition has their own festivities at the end of this month. So there's some stuff for us to look at, and what I want you to look at is to look for three things, three of your favorite things about this time of year or about Christmas. What are your three favorite things about Christmas? And then the bottom line is, we can choose then, if we know, if we are aware and intentional, we can choose what it is we like and how we want to focus on what we like instead of focusing on what we don't like, which never gets you anywhere good. And we choose the best and we let go of the rest. Okay? Choose the best, just let go of the rest. So that's what I want to look at now, is how do you choose to show up? We want to look at the details of this formula, because it will not only work for you, but it will make the people around you or the people that you bump into this month have a more positive experience in their movement through the month. So let's look first at flow. Now, as I said, you know a lot about flow that you didn't know last October, because we've talked about it so much through the month of November while we participated in our Seeding the Future, our stewardship program. By the way, not too late to turn in your pledge cards. We'll put that out there. So the flow, because we're looking at that book In the Flow, and Reverend Clyde will be continuing the weekly book study based on that book. They'll be meeting today. What time do you meet, Reverend Clyde? Close to 12, right? So if we get done there early, you'd like to start early? Is that what I'm guessing? Okay, cool. And, you know, as I spoke each week last month from that Butterworth book, what I noticed is that every week Eric Butterworth would speak about the Tao Te Ching, this ancient Chinese spiritual ideas that are very much based on the harmony of the universe. From the Tao, we get the yin and the yang, this idea of the turning wheel where you have the dark and the light and the hot and the cold, that there are these polarities and that there is an energetic in the opposites that keep this wheel of life sort of turning all the time. And so we look at the roots of the Tao, and what we see is that there is a man. It reminds me a lot of the Jesus story. This story precedes the birth of Jesus, the time that Jesus lived on the earth, by about 600 years. So before Jesus, 500 to 600 years before Jesus, and one of the earliest, most ancient recorded sort of religious ideas comes from the Tao. The Tao means the way. And the person that is attributed with pulling it all together into this sacred book, the Tao Te Ching, is Lao Tzu. But that's a lot of foreign words there. I just pulled that off like I knew what I was talking about, didn't I? So the story of Lao Tzu is fabulous. Lao Tzu was it all takes place in China in ancient days. And Lao Tzu was a wise man. They call him a master. So he was sagey. He was brilliant. He had all this spiritual, what I would call spiritual wisdom. And the people loved to go to him to seek answers to some of their dilemmas in life. And Lao Tzu had lived a fairly good life in the village with the people, but he became frustrated as he continued to age. He started thinking, he started losing faith in the people. Like, why don't they apply this stuff that we're teaching? You know, that I have all this wisdom and they can see it. It's just out there in nature in front of everybody. Why don't the people use it in their life? And he got disillusioned and he decided that he was going to leave the village and he wanted to spend his final years up in the mountains somewhere. He got on a water buffalo and he headed west. They say in the legend, it says, toward that which would become Tibet. So we see it's sort of holy land in lots of ways. So he's on his water buffalo and he's trying to get out of Dodge or get out of whatever village they're in. And there's a gatekeeper. And the gatekeeper says, hold on, what are you doing? You can't leave us. You're the master. You're the wise one. We need you. What would the people do if you leave? Please, I'm begging you, stay. And Lao Tzu says, no, I can't stay, really. There's nothing you could say that could talk me into staying. And so the gatekeeper, who was also very wise, apparently, he said, well, if you won't stay, will you at least please record some of your wisdom for us so that we might have it after you're gone? So he agreed, got off his camel, went and sat under, probably wasn't a Bodhi tree yet, it was a little early. Bodhi tree would come later, also before Jesus. But he sits down and he spent 3 days writing down all of his wisdom so that the people could have it after he left. And they say that that wisdom is what became the Tao Te Ching, and it is considered today to be 81 aphorisms or wise, pithy statements about life. And they primarily speak to this perfect harmony in life. We teach the same stuff. Right? The great wisdom that Ernest Holm dug into included the wisdom from the Tao. So there's this great essential Eastern solidness under everything, because that's where most of these great stories come from. Now, today, in our part of the Western world, we still practice the principles of the Tao, and the way we do that is through Tai Chi. It is through Qigong, Feng Shui, and even acupuncture. Those things all came from these really ancient teachings. And today, Westerners are finding value in practicing some of those things in our lives as well. So now let me take you back to Butterworth. Here is what Butterworth had to say about the Tao. About the Tao, which translates loosely into the way. Simply put, the Tao says that evil is anything that blocks the flow of creative action, and everything is healthy that flows with the ongoing movement of the universe. This is everything we've been talking about. That the problem is, and in the words of Eric Butterworth, he says the only question is, why do we frustrate the flow of good? Why do we do that? You know, I mean, if you think about it, all problems come from some sort of congestion, some way in which we stop that glorious natural flow of life. And so if we want to apply this, and I'm really challenging you to apply this in your life and do it right away, because it's already Christmas. I don't know about you. I had to slow down and look at some of the pretty houses that were decorated over the weekend in my neighborhood. Just notice how you are moving in the flow of life. Are you moving in the flow of good as you embark out on your day and you move through every day? And what kind of energy are you taking with you as you live and move and have your being in God and in the world? And so here's what I know about myself. I have some this is not new. This is like everything else in life. We attach meaning to Christmas in the same way we attach meaning to all the little minutiae of our life. It's the only reason we have conflict is because our values bump up against each other, because I think one way and Reverend Glenn thinks another way. Thank God he was on my side today. I really needed him for today. And so I notice that because I have a preconceived notion that more people are shopping right now, because that's what we're supposed to do right now. That's what we're told we should be doing right now. So I get that in my consciousness. If I'm not paying attention, my belief I carry into the world is, oy vey, there's going to be so many people shopping today. You know, I'm not Christmas. I just want to go get the things I need for my life, because it's, you know, I can't wait a whole month before I go to the store again. And oy vey, they're all going to be in my way. And they're going to take all the parking spaces. And then there's going to be long lines. And you know what else? We just know everybody's going to be grumpy. So if I carry that belief without noticing that's what I'm thinking, if I take that with me, who do you think I'm going to bump into? Every grumpy person that's there. And maybe some of them weren't even grumpy until they bumped into me. Right? Yeah, oy vey, right. So I just try to own what I know about myself. If that is something that I carry with me, I now want to make a different choice. I want to find my way into a different flow. I need to get my fanny to the well and fill myself up with that grace of God so that I am now moving through my life and my day and this season in a different frame of mind. So it's about a period of, I think it's like self-evaluation, you know, just have a little chat with yourself before you leave the house. And don't block the flow of good just because you aren't really nuts about Christmas and a lot of other people seem to be. And what about that Santa that rings the bell outside every store and wants you to... Okay, moving on. So flow then moves us to the next topic of choice. Choose. We all get to choose all the time. If I don't choose, I may fall back into my old pattern. So the flow will carry you. It's like riding a current of life. But as you're riding that, you're riding down the river in your own little crafty self, you will find that as rivers run to the ocean, if you get a big aerial view, what do you see? There are tributaries, right? There are little ways that the water branches out. And so you can be on a river for a while, but pretty soon you're going to have to make a choice, right? It's going to split like the road does sometimes. And you're going to have to make a choice. And the choice is, which stream would you like to move through? How would you like to be carried now through the activities of your day? So joy is a choice. Joy is a theme for the season. Joy to the world, right? Joy is a wonderful choice. Peace. Some people like to really focus on peace, you know, peace on earth, goodwill to all of humanity. That becomes a theme for some people as they move through this season. And for other people, there's a holiness, an authentic desire to experience that sense of holy newness, the birth of the Christ consciousness. And so there is no single right answer. But along with those choices, there are other choices that may be appropriate for other people. Some people move through this season with sadness, right? I mean, it's real. Let's not pretend like everybody should be as happy as we would like them to be. For some people, this may be the first year they're having a holiday without a loved one. For some people, they always become melancholy around the holiday season, and there's something in their nature to look at this time of year in a different way. Let's face it, there is less sunlight, right? That's why the winter solstice is about celebrating the return of the light. So we have many shades of continents or the attitudes and the moods that you want to carry yourself through. If this is a time, for me, this is a time of deep reflection. This is when I journal the most. I love to look back on the things that I was thinking of at the end of last year and the beginning of this year. And it helps me to begin to set some intentions or to look at what directions I would like to use as the goal or the guiding light that pulls me into the new year. So choose for yourself. If there are people that need this to be a time of solemn reflection, can we honor that? It isn't a time of merriment for everybody. If it is for you, then by all means, bring your joy to the world because the world certainly needs it. But also, leave space in your love to honor those who can't join you in that joy. There's a little bit of something for everybody. So finally, we got flow, we know to choose, and now it brings us to praise and thanksgiving and gratitude. These are the ways we can be big for God, blessed, inspired, and grateful, a different way of carrying ourselves through life. And what we know, it's so interesting that Holmes said, you know, that there's this lifting power in praise. It lifts us to acceptance. It reminds me of lifting your cup and making sure your cup is upright, right? It's the container to capture all the good. But what we have now in terms of research is a great understanding of the way that gratitude shifts us energetically, right? No matter how difficult a challenge may be that you are moving through, that we are told now that even in that space, we should pause to look for something to be grateful for, and then that's the beginning of that shift. In the same way that Holmes understood that, he said it lifts sadness, it lifts depression, it lifts us to acceptance. Acceptance of what? Well, you get to name it, of all those qualities of the divine that are really present no matter what season. So we understand intellectually now, we have proof that gratitude changes the molecular structure of our being, and we are not the same. When we have learned to feel grateful within our very own being, the the classical metaphysicians used to call it involution, that inward involvement, feeling it, so much so that emotive energy is the very thing that sets the law in motion to create those desires of our heart. So we have all this gorgeous understanding in a much deeper way, and we can see that there is this I was thinking, you know how I said it's a circle? It's so you start with flow, you practice choice, and then you get down to praise and thanksgiving. The praise and thanksgiving lifts you up, and so it returns to the beginning. But here's what I see it as: it's that symbol of eternity, right? It's that flow, it's that movement. And I like that even better than the circle, because it shows the active movement of the ups and the downs of the way we feel and experience the daily routine, the encounters we have with each other. It has a piece of all of that blended into it. So I want you to remember my three words, not so that you will use them, but I want you to see how much value I have put on my three words: flow, choice, praise. And I've made some substance out of it. But to help you remember those words, and I really want you to do this on your own. This is not me wanting you to fall in love with my three words. I want you to do this with your own three words. But what I did to sort of inspire you was I wrote a song. I did. Well, there has to be singing. It's Christmas. I wrote a song, and I'm told it is in the key of E.
Yes, it is.
And I actually have some backup singers that are going to help. So if I could have all the participants up here right now. Oh, and by the way, the lyrics to the song I wrote are in your program, so you can sing along too. All right, so the focus is flow, choose. It's choice, but we're going to say choose because that's really active. That's me doing it now, right? Flow, choose, and praise. And we're going to sing it to the tune of Doe a Deer. Doe a deer, a female deer, right? Right? So everybody knows that song, and we're going to sing it, so you can just kind of play with us. The first verse, we'll sing it twice through, all right? Everybody got the lyrics? Everybody ready? La, 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 la. Okay. Kia E, let me hear it. Do, do, do. Flow a year, a brand new year. Choose a drop of golden fun. Praise a word I call out loud. Joy a long, long time to run. So I'm ready now to go. Be inside the Christmas glow. know that good removes all woe, and it all leads back to flow. Okay, now we'll do it. We'll do it professionally. Was it too low? Okay, ready? Flow, a year, a brand new year. Choose a drop of golden fun. Praise a word I call out loud. Joy, a long, long time to run. So I'm ready now to go. Be inside the Christmas glow. Know that good removes all woe, and it all leads back to flow. Woo! Thank you. Yay! We choose flow and choose and praise, and it just takes us all the way back again. You know you're going to be singing it all day now. Right. You know you want to memorize these lyrics because these are really good lyrics now, right? Oh, thank you, Reverend Glenn. Thank you, who saved the day at the last minute. I went, oh, God, I'm going to sing. Ay, 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 ay. Why's it got to be like that? Oh, well, anyhow. 'Tis the season to be merry or not. You get to choose. Right? It's up to you. And we want to honor the people that don't choose in the same direction that we do. So for us, in New Thought, in this gorgeous teaching of New Thought, the season is about proclaiming the new birth of Christ in the human heart. So give yourself permission to figure out how you want to do that. Be kind in your choices that you make and give thanks. Give thanks, give thanks. And I want to close this morning with one of my favorite Emma Curtis Hopkins, a little paraphrased quote that I wrote for myself. I paraphrased it, kind of like the song, actually. You think we should do it to music? No. Thank you, but no. I want to close with one of my favorite quotes from Emma Curtis Hopkins that has so much meaning and is so applicable for us as we step into this season of Christmas on December the 1st. Emma says this: every night of your life, before you close your eyes in slumber, God swelling you with possibility, choose. Choose what it is that you desire to experience in the morrow. Choose what characteristics you desire to express in your own living. For you have within you an instinct with executiveness waiting your firm command. And that's all I wanted to say today. So I think we need to go that next step. We'll take the merriment and we'll take the beauty and we'll take the sentimentality of the season. We're going to anchor all of this in the words of prayer, blessing each and every person here in a season that will be exactly as we choose. So if I could have the practitioners and the ministers to just stand and surround the room, holding the consciousness for us. Flow and choice and praise, powerful words. And as we breathe in everything that has just unfolded and realize that we are a part of something really magnificent, we turn to our own sacred center and just feel the love of God resting there. I recognize that there is a power and a presence right here in this sanctuary. It is a power for good. We can use it. And so how glorious it is to know that as we feel and recognize and know that activity of life within us, the indwelling presence of God, that we are filled with that grace, that we are given everything we need and more, pressed down and spilling over, because we are containers, not just at Christmas, but always we are containers for something so good, so different, so new, that is bringing a change on this planet, even now as we speak these words of prayer. And that we have been invited to welcome in all the holy newness that which desires to emerge, the answers to all the questions, the peace that stills any sense of unrest. I feel the love of God in this room, and I know it is powerfully moving and living as we are having our being in it, in that love. And so we are strengthened, we are clothed, we are filled with compassion and kindness and goodness. And especially this year, we are filled with a distinct knowing that there is enough, that we live in this glorious flow of good. And even as we conclude the program that seeds the future of this spiritual community, even still the good is rushing in, that we are given everything we need to have a financially successful year for this community, that we are given everything we need in order to expand our desires to do good work in the world, that even in an individual way, we are awakening the intelligence within our individual being so that whatever seems to ail us is healed. That light is the love of God, that glow is the vibrancy of health and of wholeness and the fullness of our divine expression. And so nothing is held back. We just breathe in the fullness of this glorious good, the givingness of the Holy Spirit filling each and every person here. We feel it from the inside, aware of the indwelling presence, and we recognize it all around us. What a beautiful time of year to bring our light to the world, to bring our joy to the world, to allow that inner peace to be expressed through us so that where we go, we bring love and joy and beauty, because this is how the law works. And so today, individually and as a community, we join together in consciousness with this bold intention that we will move through this month in a way that is healthy, that works for us individually, but blesses everyone else as well. And so I am grateful to know that we have activated the law in a powerful way, that we are bringing peace and beauty and love and even merriment, even as we expect, respect, and create this space to honor and love all individuals, even those who are different than we are. What a gorgeous way to recognize the birth of the Christ consciousness in the human heart. I say thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Infinite Spirit, for all of this renewed wisdom, this awakened heart, this way in which we are ready. We are here to serve. We stand in truth. I say thank you, God, and I release these words into the law, allowing it to be done. And together we say, and so it is. Amen. Oh,